Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Question that Jay has asked, because outside of Dak Prescott, all those other dudes are heading to the playoffs. And believe it or not, Lamar and the Ravens right now are on the outside looking in. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Joey Galloway, the great college and NFL wide receiver, to talk the playoff. That's in a half hour. He was right there on our show last night on ESPN, giving his thoughts, and he'll recap and look ahead. That's coming up in 30 minutes. So we're asking this morning on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, which NFL playoff contender is the biggest poser? I guess you could vote for the Ravens because they do seem like they're skidding, but they're not in the playoffs, as I mentioned. They're the eighth seed, top seven this year. Make it. You can join us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, 888-ESPN, Key J and Z on Twitter. Floyd Johnson Jr. has weighed in on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, saying everyone except the Chiefs. They're all playing for second place. Hashtag Chiefs Kingdom. Jason says the choice that Jay made earlier today, it seems like the obvious one, the Eagles, because they're 3-6-1. And a kid named Scott says Tampa easily. What do you think?
I was going to say, you know, because you said Lamar and they're on the outside looking in and they playoffs, blah, blah, blah. I was going to say, well, we act like Tampa Bay got it made. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got Kansas City this week after a tough loss going up against the Rams. And mm-hmm. I understand that Tommy Boy, we all feel good about it and everything, but, you know, you start losing to the Rams and start losing to Kansas City, and now doubt starts to set in about what you really are within the conference. I mean, I'm just pointing that out there.
Where are they in the race right now?
They're the fifth seed, I believe.
Fifth seed right now.
But they can go from five down to nine real quick.
They are the sixth seed at the moment. Let's just run through the NFC. Obviously, the Saints are for real. The Rams, the Packers, the Eagles, which one of our fellas on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed mentioned. Seattle's at five right now. Tampa Bay is 7-4, sitting in the sixth spot. But give that loss to the Chiefs, then suddenly you're 7-5. Arizona has the seventh spot at the moment. So the Eagles seem like the easy choice. A kid named Scott and a man named Keyshawn both said it could be the Tampa Bay Bucks. How about the Cleveland Browns? They're 7-3, and I think for a lot of people, it's not the Baker thing. And I understand Baker is making the throws he needs to make. It's the, I just got to see it first. You could lead me to the water, but until you drink in the playoffs, right? It's the NFL's longest playoff drought. They're 7-3. They've done it. They've gone through a tough stretch. No doubt about it. They have portable, the running game, but they're just sort of like, I just haven't seen it. And so if you got a kid that's entering college, okay, if you got a kid entering college,
it's been a long
this
time.
Fall, they were born the last time the Browns made the playoffs. Okay?
You know what this is though, Jay, for Cleveland Brown fans and people that follow, you know, the NFL, it's like the Clippers in basketball. Mm. They'll break your heart. You know, every year it's like, oh, they're going to do it. Oh, they're going to be all right. We got all these toys and these players. Oh, and that's how Cleveland is. Last year it was like, oh, yeah, we're going to roll Baker and OBJ and everybody. It's like, ah. Oh. And then this year you're sitting there and they're sitting at 7-3, but you're like, uh-oh. Can they keep chopping away at it slowly but surely as you look to see where they're at? Now you kind of go, ooh, can they make the playoffs? Can they do it with this style?
But Key, it's always interesting when we compare external expectations versus internal expectations. If they do make the playoffs, which it looks like they're on track to right now, I'm figure out what they have on their remaining schedule, pull it up. All right, you got the Jags, Titans to be a tough game. Who knows where the Ravens will be by then? Giants to be a tough game. Jets and Steelers. It's going to be right there on the fringe. But if they do make the playoffs, isn't that enough?
I'm glad how you slid in. The Giants would be a tough game. That was real slick.
Yeah, I always do.
Wouldn't that be enough
for this team?
The expectations is for us to make the playoffs.
Yes.
Right now. That's our expectations internally.
And they're on track to do that right now,
right? We look to do that. But we do need to win games to be able to put ourselves in that position. If we don't, now the questions come out about, did this happen because you didn't trust the quarterback? Did you not make the playoffs because you didn't excel at the quarterback position? That'll be the question that people try to put out there in the narrative.
I don't even think that's the question. I think that's going to be the fact, right? I mean, I think maybe. I'm not saying that Baker has played decently this year. The game that Tony Rizzo who we did an interview in the first hour reference was against the Bengals where he threw for five TDs and he played out of his mind. And I respect. And granted,
they had a comeback. They won the game.
Exactly. In the last couple of weeks, it's been really poor weather. They've been ground and pound. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, they've been doing their thing. I guess the question comes down to, Key, with the way you run the ball, you have targets, you have weapons. I mean, OBJ being out for the year hurts. You still have Jarvis Landry and company. You have pieces.
Higgins is there.
It will come down to Baker Mayfield. Like, it's nobody else.
I mean,
correct?
I hate
at the end of the day, I hate to do that to him too because I love him. He's my boy. But inevitably, it's going to come down to that.
I hate to put all the pressure on Baker Mayfield in this situation. I really do. I think based on Kevin Stefanski and what they want to do from an offensive standpoint, they like to run the ball and they like to do play action stuff. And in order to have Baker Mayfield be at his best, they have to run the ball. But I'm not also asking him to throw the ball 40 times. I don't want him throwing the ball 40 times. All I need him to do is make a handful of quality throws that'll put us in position to score some points. If he can do that, then I think Cleveland will find themselves in the playoffs.
And what if Kareem Hunter or Nick Chubb get hurt?
Excuse me?
What if one of your running backs get hurt?
Well, I think if you lose one of those guys, you'll be okay. You're losing one. If you lose both, that's a different story.
Okay.
We talked about the Bucs sitting in the sixth spot in the AFC. Right now, the Browns would be sitting in the sixth spot in the AFC. So 7-3 for the Browns in the AFC at the sixth spot. For the Bucs, 7-3 in the sixth spot in the NFC. Mark in California, you're on ESPN Radio. Which NFL playoff contender is the biggest poser?
I say it's whoever wins the NFC East. And as a matter of fact, there should be a constitutional amendment. If you can't finish at 500, whether you win your division or not, if you're 7-9, you don't make the playoffs. You give that to a quality team. And maybe this year they should take whoever wins the NFC East and let them play BYU, and everybody will tune in for that.
Good stuff, Mark. Thank you. Tongue planted firmly in cheek. Obviously, no constitutional amendment. We still don't know who's going to win the Senate.
Jeez.
Just throwing that out there.
I wonder who would win, the team that finishes last in the NFC East or Alabama?
Where are we having this argument again?
No,
we can't have this argument. We cannot have this argument.
Throwing it out close.
The worst NFL team of all time would whip the best college team of all time, and they could name the score. Key, fair?
I don't.
Name the score. The worst team of NFL. Take the 0-16
Lions.
The 0-16 Lions.
Okay.
0-16 Lions.
Be careful, Zubin.
Could beat the best college team you can ever think of.
No, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, I'm saying, Zubin.
Because I'm also looking at the people that prepare the Lions or prepare the Jets to take on the best college football team ever.
Here's my rationale.
There's
53 guys in the NFL on a roster because they made the NFL. How many guys on even the best college football team you've ever seen, how many of those guys could even sniff the NFL?
But here's what I'm going to tell you.
LSU had like 14 guys.
I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody on that 53-man roster, they should be in the NFL. Not every one of them. I don't give a damn what nobody say. Because there's some dudes on there that's some dump trucks that's there for a number of other reasons that shouldn't be. I'm just being honest with you. Whether guys that are in college had red flags and never got picked up, it's dudes walking around on the streets that play college football that should be playing on Sundays.
Preach.
But because they got other issues, they didn't make the teams or they got passed on for whatever reason. So when people make that argument about the best college team of all times versus the worst pro team of all times, I'm like, man, I can point to a million dudes on these rosters. You're like, man, he shouldn't even be playing on Sundays. But I've played with a bunch of them. But because of certain circumstances, they get the opportunities to play.
See, Zubin, don't be so quick to dismiss my argument.
I'm just saying. But I understand what you're saying.
Right. Just keep in mind, people thought LSU was the best statistical team of the modern era last year. They had 14 guys drafted. There's 85 guys on the roster. 14 were lucky enough to be drafted into the NFL. That's a small percentage.
Because I would argue with you, one of USC teams under Pete Carroll, with Pete Carroll as the coach, and Norm Child and all that, and Lane and everybody, from top to bottom, they'd give a run for the money. I could name an Alabama team that would give run for the money. Right? Nick Saban over Adam Gase? Come on, man, stop.
Okay.
I'm just being honest with you now.
Fair enough. That's the X's and O's argument. I'll take the Jimmy's and Joe's argument. Jason in North Carolina, who do you got? Biggest playoff poser?
I'll try to make this quick. I've actually got one in each conference. I know Cleveland's a popular pick, but Cleveland can run the football and play defense. That actually travels. I think that's a lot of people hating on Baker. But I would actually say Arizona and Tennessee, because a lot of people forget that, you know, Arizona is still a very young football team. That defense has kind of been playing above their head. And Kyler's got his shoulder banged up now with 5 games still to go, and that's probably not going to be healed up until after the season. So I think that might be a problem, and especially when the intensity ramps up in the playoffs. And then if you look at Tennessee, they're missing Jack Conklin, their left tackle, their best blocking fullback, one of their best blocking tight ends, and that defense has fallen off a cliff in addition to the fact that they're not really capable of airing it out for a shootout. So I don't think they can duplicate what they did last year.
I think that was the biggest part about Tennessee that I had worries about. Everybody knows that, you know, King Henry can pound the ball, but when they get behind, Key, like they don't have the weapons to all of a sudden try to catch up really quickly.
Well, most of the teams that have strong running games struggle in the passing game. That's why they run the ball so much. Whether it's Cleveland, whether it's Baltimore, whether it's Tennessee. When you look at that portable stuff, just take a look at the quarterbacks. It tells you everything right there.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Back to the playoff rankings.
Number 14, BYU, undefeated, sitting there behind 3 2-loss teams.
Because of the pandemic, we're not comparing apples to apples from a resume standpoint.
Those last words from Jesse Palmer. He was joined by Joey Galloway, Kirk Herbstreit, Reese Davis, and all the crew for last night's playoff ranking show. I really want to ask Joey if his best Ohio State team was better than his worst Seattle or Tampa Bay team. But instead, Key, you and Joey have a little bit of a common bond that people may not know. You two are an exclusive group of two when it comes to draft history.
Well, yeah, that would be right. I think we both... according to, is it Elias? According
the
to
Pro Football
Pro
Reference.
Pro Football Reference.
Joey
yeah,
and Key. Go
we
ahead,
both
Key.
Traded to for 2 number 1 first round picks when we got swapped. He went to Dallas from Seattle, and I went from New York to Tampa Bay. Then we swapped teams. I went from Tampa Bay to Dallas. He went from Dallas to Tampa Bay in a trade.
How about that? Good morning, Joey.
Hey. Good morning, guys. I was trying to think, where are they going with this?
We don't know, Joe. We just keep going.
I didn't have a guess. I had no guesses on where that was going to end up, but that's interesting. I did not know that.
You didn't realize that?
No, I had no idea.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that was the big deal. You know, they gave Joey for 2, and he got the big bucks. I'm like, yo, man, come on now. Joey's setting the market.
Speaking of guessing, Joey, I'm sure you can guess where I'm going to go first. Give me your reaction to last night's unveiling of the first college football playoff rankings.
I wasn't alarmed by anything. I was surprised. I was surprised that that Clemson was at number 3 and Ohio State at number 4. But again, that's not alarming to me. This is the first rankings, you know, and if you look at the history of this thing, there's always been a lot of movement after the first week. So I don't get too bent out of shape about things. I think there's some other teams, you know, like Indiana sitting behind, you know, a 2-loss Oklahoma, 2-loss Georgia sitting at number 9. You know, there's just certain things that sort of make you think that's interesting, but nothing jumped off the screen at me like somebody got cheated.
Speed Demon, let me ask you this. How can BYU jump 10 spots in the next couple of weeks to make it into the first college football playoff rankings?
They got no shot. I was not as bent out of shape as some of my colleagues on the BYU sitting at number 14. Could they be better than 14? Possibly. But I don't look at BYU and think, you know, now there is a team that I strongly feel is a top 5 team. You know, they're good. Don't get me wrong. But I think a lot of these teams are good. And a lot of these teams have an argument for being, you know, a little higher than they are. So that's one that sitting at 14, it didn't scare me as much as it did some other guys.
Joey, what are your thoughts on the trendsetter that you have been able to become by creating the terminology, bunch of Reese Davises as a rallying cry for fighting Reese Davis as a rally cry for Northwestern? And can Northwestern actually make the CFP?
they can make the CFP. And I thought, I always want to look and see when the first rankings come out, the only thing I want to see is how many teams actually have a shot to get there from where they are. And Northwestern sitting at number 8 really opens the door for them to have a shot to get there. Now, it's not going to be easy. Their next 3 games should be very winnable, besides the fact they got to go on the road. They got Michigan State on the road this week. They got Minnesota on the road the week after. And that's the game that would scare me a little bit if I'm Northwestern. And then the final game is Illinois. So they should be able to run that schedule. The hurdle is Ohio State and the Big Ten championship game. If they win that game, then they have as good a shot at anybody at getting in the playoffs. So I would look at the top 8 teams and say that those 8 could possibly get there. Cincinnati's going to need some help. They need some teams to lose ahead of them, but the stuff that they need is not impossible. You know, they probably need Notre Dame to beat Clemson again. They would need Alabama to beat Florida in the SEC championship game. And so some of those things that they need are absolutely possible to happen. So I think the top 8 teams all have a shot to get there and a realistic shot.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So which team, Joey, outside of the top 4 has a chance to make it in the CFP? USC. Who do you think?
I would say, honestly, speaking of USC, and I'm sure you've seen your team, I am a little disappointed in – I thought that they would be a lot more explosive offensively. When you bring back guys like St. Brown and Bonds and Keaton Slovis at quarterback, 30 touchdowns last year, all the veterans you guys have, I thought for sure that you guys would come out on fire. Now you're 3-0, but it hasn't been a pretty 3-0, and that hurts your chances of getting there. I don't know that the Pac-12 right now has a legitimate shot at getting there with, you know, it would have to be Oregon or USC. And so I don't know that there's a legitimate shot that either team gets there now just because you guys haven't it hasn't been pretty. You guys are going to need a lot of style points, and that really hasn't happened out there. The team that's interesting to me is Florida, though, because with Kyle Trask and the way they're playing offense right now, and their defense is it needs some help. But I would say the same thing about Alabama's defense. I'd say the same thing about Clemson's defense and Ohio State's defense. But the way Kyle Trask is playing, we might have a legitimate shot at seeing a SEC championship game where, you know, it'll be 55 points to 60 points. But offensively, Florida can hang with Alabama. So the SEC championship game could be very interesting and could see a team like Florida knock off Alabama.
SEC bias once and live again. 3 teams from the SEC are in the top 6. But what conference to you most likely can get 2 teams into the playoffs other than the SEC?
I think the easiest path for 2 teams would be the ACC, simply because Notre Dame beating Clemson early in the year really sets them up. If they run the rest of their schedule and get to the ACC championship game and play a good game and lose to Clemson, with Notre Dame sitting number 2 and Clemson sitting number 3, I still think that keeps both teams in. And so the ACC getting 2 in would obviously eliminate a spot for, you know, maybe a 2 teams out of the SEC or maybe even a Cincinnati or 2 teams out of the Big Ten. But I think it's very I would say that would be likely to happen. If Notre Dame, Clemson play, and Clemson has all their players, Trevor Lawrence included, I think Clemson will be favored in that game. So it's more than likely to happen that Clemson wins that, and then the ACC would have the chance of getting 2 in.
Speaking of 2, Joey Galloway is joining us. Joey, I'm going to ask you 2 questions, and you give me a 1 or 2-word answer. One will be serious, and one will be lighthearted. Serious, if I had a Heisman ballot and I voted Florida quarterback Kyle Trask number 1, am I crazy?
You want a 1-word answer on that?
I do.
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
And here's the fun one. You can go a little more than 1 or 2 words. We're asking every single guest this, and I'm sure you'll be sitting down with your family tomorrow. You'll be back with your ESPN family soon enough here on Saturdays with Matt and Jesse. Enjoy watching you, as always. Sweet potato or pumpkin pie?
Sweet potato. I've never been a pumpkin pie guy for some reason. I'm not a fan. Like, I don't like cheesecakes. I don't like pies that you don't have to chew. Like, I want to bite something and have some texture to it. And pumpkin just doesn't do that for me.
Okay. All right, Joe. All right. We're trying to see if it's geographical, you know, cultural. We'll try to figure this out.
It's been a clean sweep.
No, I'm an apple pie guy. I will eat apple pie, and I don't care what location I'm in the country. You got good apple pie, I'm with that.
With ice cream, though? Warm apple pie with ice cream?
Man, you're making me hungry.
Okay. What kind of ice cream, though, Joe? What kind of ice cream?
I need anything in the vanilla range. Okay. It could be vanilla bean. It could be a lot. But I need warm apple pie with the ice cream melting a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Onto cool, the apple. Man. Yeah, just dripping down on it a little bit. That's what I need.
Yeah, you ain't anybody eating apple pie with ice cream, you wasting time. That's a waste of time, man. I wish somebody would slide an apple pie in front of me.
My apple pie.
Without damn ice cream. Man, please.
That's Joey Galloway, a la mode, joining us this morning. Joey, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Think
I appreciate it.
Some dry-ass apple pie without ice cream.
And true to form for Joey, when he got it in front of him, he would eat it really fast.
You got
it. He's the fastest dude you ever seen.
I knew Joey was fast. Not his 40 and combine stuff.
You're 40?
Oh. Well, I ran 4.4. I'm good.
Keyshawn Johnson, you ran a 4.4.
As I would tell anybody, no one goes number one overall at a skill position if you cannot run. It does not happen. The NFL doesn't do that, peer. So trust me on that one. But what I was going to say is I knew Joey was fast because we had a guy named Aaron Glenn. Oh, Aaron Glenn was a 4.3 dude.
The old DB.
Wow. The DB who's the defensive back coach at the New Orleans Saints. Joey came in motion. Aaron followed him across. And when Joey came off the line of scrimmage and he had Aaron by like 5 yards, I was like, damn. With some other words in there.
Sure.
Some holy this and some holy that. It was crazy because I knew how fast AG was. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, this dude here. And I think that was coming off in ACL.
Yeah, his claim to fame in college and early in the NFL, fastest man in football, no doubt about it.
It's like Buda Baker when he turned around after DK Metcalf.
No, hold on, man.
He was like, what the hell just happened?
You better stop falling into that narrative about I couldn't run.
I just saw multiple reports online and people said that you ran like a 4.5.
I hate that.
4.57 was the exact number I saw.
It's a damn lie and I ain't gonna let you keep selling it.
I'm not selling it. I'm not going to let you sell
that I couldn't run.
Why are you becoming so sensitive about this?
Because I don't like that. Because I hate when people start lying on me.
So it wasn't a 4.57. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Well, I didn't run no damn 4.57. Lies, 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 and more lies. Stephen ain't so stupid. But what I would say, though, is this narrative out there that, you know, it's like the narrative with you. You can't hit free throws, right? It's one of those
I wasn't a great free throw shooter.
No, but you hit free throws.
I know, but I wasn't a great free throw shooter.
See,
I just own it.
You can't hit free throws.
I know, Keith. Just some people have said that you ran like a tight end.
No, I'm not going to live. Nope. They didn't say that. Well, here's what I would say. Now you're getting me to talking in third person. I don't care about anything you're talking about and what about no damn break and none of that. No reads. Now I'm getting ready to talk about myself in the third person. Look at my numbers and look at the quarterbacks I play with and look at what I did in the league. I wouldn't change my career for anybody's except Jerry Rice's. Other than that, I don't give a damn. I'll stack mine up with anybody.
You had incredible stats.
I'm a bad free throw shooter.
I'm Googling it.
We're going to pull up some film.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Then we're going to pull up some film of you against Indiana, missing them free throws.
I know, man.
And Carlos Boot, never mind.
After he pulls up film of Gallagher. All right, so Key is cool. Key is cool. He's hot. We got to get him cool. No cool whip.
Cool whip is good on the right stuff.
Okay.
On the right stuff. You got to have it on the right, like banana pudding. You like banana pudding?
Yeah, I love banana pudding.
Okay,
I didn't know where we were going with. I'm sorry.
Come on, man.
Yeah, go to break.
I'm trying to go keep to break. My show on air. Let's go.
Gotcha. On the way, Ravens Steelers. Thanksgiving night is the biggest opponent, not Jeez. The Ravens or the Steelers. Is it a COVID outbreak for Baltimore? Our reporter who will be on the scene tomorrow night with the very latest next.
Coach K, why did Jay miss those free throws?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good morning. I'm Zubin Mehenti here with your SportsCenter update. The college football playoff rankings. First edition are out. In first pole position is Alabama, to the surprise of nobody. Notre Dame, in search of their first national title since 1988, sit at number two. One loss, Clemson, is three. Ohio State rounds out the top four, just on the outside looking in, as Texas A&M, a whisker better than Florida, who they defeated head-to-head. The highest-ranked Group of Five team is the Cincinnati Bearcats. At seven, Bogdan Bogdanovich has agreed to a four-year, $72 million contract. That's normally not something that we might hit in a SportsCenter update for you, but this was long and drawn out. The Hawks finally were able to seal the deal after the Kings declined to match that contract offer. Our Bobby Marks, front office insider, tweeted something I've never seen before. The Atlanta Hawks have won the offseason in the Eastern Conference. And college basketball is back tonight. Jay's got the Duke gear swag going. 2K Empire Classic tipping off tonight on ESPN at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Uncasville, Connecticut. Arizona State and Rhode Island, Villanova and Boston College. If you're waiting for the Champions Classic, Duke, Michigan State, Kansas, Kentucky, that will be held next Tuesday. And SportsCenter is brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app and use code KJZ to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
We're getting some breaking news. This was just sent to me. It's a statement from the Baltimore Ravens. I'll read it verbatim. Late last night, we were informed that multiple members of the Baltimore Ravens organization tested positive for COVID-19.
Listen to this breaking news. Ravens running backs Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins tested positive for COVID-19.
And those individuals immediately began to self-quarantine. We have started the process of contact tracing, and during this time, the Under Armour Performance Center will be closed.
The Under Armour Performance Center is the Ravens' training facility, and right now the Ravens are under a ton of pressure. This is a gigantic game for them, third of three. The Lions are going to kick it off, then we'll have the Cowboy game, as tradition has always been on Thanksgiving, and then it'll be the Ravens and the Steelers to take us home. Kimberly A. Martin will be covering the latter game, big divisional clash.
Doing,
she joins us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Kimberly, good morning. You heard what Mike Greenberg and Max Kellerman said there about the coronavirus and the COVID outbreak ravaging the Ravens. Take me inside the COVID situation and how it might affect this game tomorrow night.
Well, good morning, guys. First off, we need to confirm the game will definitely be played. As of now, it's still on, but the Ravens all had to test again this morning by 8 a.m., we're going to hear whether there are more positive tests. You know, Adam Schefter reported that there were five players and four staffers that tested positive so far. So we'll learn in a few hours, maybe, if more people test positive and if that has any outcome on whether the game is played. I do think we will get a game. I do think I will be on a plane tomorrow going to Pittsburgh. And the question now is, if the game is on, will the Ravens fly out today? They could fly out tomorrow. But this is just, this is a team facing a lot of pressure, under a lot of pressure, under a lot of scrutiny. They've lost three of the last four. And if they lose to Pittsburgh, that would be three losses in a row. A lot of questions about this Ravens team and what direction they're trending in.
Kimberly A. Martin, what are the Ravens
saying?
Hello,
my friend. Hello, good morning.
How you doing?
This makes me so happy when you guys connect. It's great. I love it.
I just had to throw the A part in there and stress it a little bit. What are the Ravens saying about facing a 10-0 Pittsburgh team without a couple of their main guys at the running back spot?
Well, it's interesting. We haven't heard much from the Ravens this week outside of Monday, because yesterday when they canceled practice, they canceled all media availability yesterday and shut down the facility. But on Monday, they had a walkthrough. We did hear from Mark Andrews, tight end Mark Andrews. And one of the things he said is he admitted our backs are against the wall. And you understand why, because this is a team where, you know, they lost to the Titans. And after that game, Lamar Jackson said it looked like that team wanted it more than us. You know, Harbaugh downplayed that statement and said, you know, I think he's just, you know, in the heat of the moment looking for a quote to give you guys. But really, it comes down to fight and heart. And teams don't, like, the Ravens, to me, are no longer an AFC bully, right? They aren't that team that, you know, would steamroll you. You know, you got teams on their logo, you know, pregame. They don't feel invincible anymore like they did last year. I will say, you know, Big Ben talked to us yesterday, and he said, when was the last time the Ravens under Harbaugh lost three in a row? Like, I expect them, whatever players they have, to come out and play us hard. Well, they did lose three in a row in 2018 under Joe Flacco. They lost to the Saints, the Panthers, and the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And then they went into the bye week, and they turned the keys over to Lamar Jackson, and they won six of the next seven and won the AFC North. So I don't want to say that them losing three in a row, if they lost, would be the end of the world. But the way we're seeing the Ravens playing, it is problematic, and it is troubling because they don't look like the same team.
Kimberly, let's actually talk about Lamar Jackson, whether it's him on the Rich Eisen show, you know, kind of giving a shot to Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, just talking about, hey, they're calling out our offensive plays at the line of scrimmage. If it's him blaming the weather, if it's him saying they wanted it more than we did, what does this internally make the Ravens think about their quarterback after coming off an MVP-type season?
I don't think it changes how the Ravens feel about Jackson. I think they are committed to him. They believe in him. He's still their leader. As young as he is, he is their leader. He's the reigning league MVP. I think it makes fans question him. I think some of the things that he says, like, it sounds worse sometimes when you hear the statement than it really is. I do think if you're saying that the Titans wanted it more, I think any losing team can say that at the end of the game. I think it's an issue. It's definitely an issue. You need to be able to figure out how to close out close games, because the Ravens, They're losing tight ones, and that's the problem, because last year they used to just put points on the board at will, it seemed, right? But I don't think the Ravens have lost any confidence in Lamar, and we haven't heard from Lamar this week, but I'll be honest, I did love his IG post the other day in which he said, you know, when this thing turns around, keep that same energy. I like it. The Ravens bandwagon, it's hella light right now, and you know why. But if you're going to put that on social media, if you're going to be the leader of this team, no matter the odds are stacked against them. They're going up against an undefeated division rival. But it's on you. You're the quarterback. You need to elevate the guys around you and make it happen no matter what.
Kimberly, you know I'm kind of silly a little bit here, but I want to get into your
just
personal.
Just a little bit.
I know. I want to get into your personal eating space. do you like cranberry sauce?
Okay, so here's the thing. So the cranberry sauce, it has to be the canned stuff. Don't
there you
give me
go.
Any of that.
There you go, girl. Yeah. There you go.
Whole fruit. Yes. No. Get me the ocean spray. In
there
the
you go.
The ridges.
There you
so
go.
I know where to cut.
I'm telling you, I went around the last couple of days to like six stores and I can't find it. I just can't. I'm going to keep looking, but I can't find it. And here's another one for you. Sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie. I think I know where you're
pumpkin
going.
Pie. I'm going to say pumpkin.
Oh.
Did I lose? Yeah. Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's an upset. Okay,
you assumed, Key. Yeah. You assumed.
Yeah, I did. That's an upset.
I was almost in there. Now the door's been closed.
That's a 16 okay, over a 1. That rarely happens. Why pumpkin?
I'll be honest. I don't love pumpkin or sweet potato pie. My favorite pie is apple pie.
Okay.
So if that's how you really want to win my heart, then it's apple pie. But if I had to choose, I would just go with pumpkin, like, because that's just usually what's there at the table. But
straight up apple pie?
I'm working.
Straight up apple pie, or do you add anything to it?
Yes. So my uncle, who works at UConn, he makes like an apple pie that like has like 9 different kinds of apples, and UConn makes its own ice cream. And so that's what he pairs it with. And it is delicious. If you guys ever get UConn ice cream, I'm telling you. So yeah, that's the only ice cream I will eat with my uncle's apple.
Well, I'm glad you with the ocean spray though. We good now.
You're good now.
I was okay. I was nervous. Stop. I thought she was getting ready to tell me homemade with the berries and all that.
No. Throw that junk in the garbage. No.
Yeah.
No,
all right.
By the way, Kim, we're in Bristol here today. So if you want to bring that ice cream over from stores, we're ready to go. We're in Connecticut this morning.
All right, I got you.
Safe travels tomorrow. Hope you do get on a plane, and I hope there is a game. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Kimberly.
You too, guys.
You too.
All right, very hard-hitting here. We're asking this morning on the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation, the initial question was, who's the biggest playoff poser? The question now has become, due to popular demand, which is the biggest playoff dessert poser? Or just the opposite. Which is better, pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie? All the important issues discussed every morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. 78.1% have said sweet potato pie.
Yeah. It's a runaway.
That's what I thought.
It's a runaway.
It's what I felt in my heart.
Including MRK Holcomb. Thank you, man. Hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed with a controversial take. I mean, Stephen A. and Max aren't this bad. I mean, actually, with a little whipped cream, they're both kind of equal, so he's splitting the difference and not answering the question.
Not really
just answer the question.
It's not even equal, though, in all honesty, but everybody has their own taste buds.
Can I throw something out for pecan? Nobody's mentioned pecan all day.
Well, here's what I would say.
You seem angry about it.
If it's sweet potato pecan is a mixture, that's good. Straight up pecan, I'm good. I can't. Right. Too sweet.
Can the worst pie beat the best? Never mind. On the way, more food for thought. Wait till you hear what Patrick Mahomes is putting on his Thanksgiving turkey. We'll fill in the blank with the answer and get the fellas' thoughts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A loss for words? Not here. Fill in the blank.
Never here, fellas, indeed. We'll have a little fill-in-the-blank food for thought in a minute with the NFL's best quarterback. That's on the way. Hang tight for that. But first, pretty simple here. I'll just give a sentence, and the fellas will fill in the blank. Speaking of QBs, fellas, the Bears are back off the bye. They got the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football. NFC North rivalry resumed. Fill in the blank. Should start at quarterback for the Bears Sunday evening.
Mitch Trubisky. If he's healthy to go and Nick Foles is healthy, they go back to Mitch Trubisky. I'm desperate right now if I'm Matt Nagy. I have nothing to lose. I might as well go back to the guy that had me 3-0 and hope that my defense plays as well as they did when we went to the playoffs and Mitch Trubisky was the quarterback.
Let's go down memory lane. Let's go to the time when Ryan Pace traded from number 3 to number 2 to select Mitchell Trubisky. And then John Dorsey traded to the number 10 pick to select Patrick Mahomes. Might as well go with the guy that you traded to go up for.
So are you saying trading up for Patrick Mahomes better than trading up for Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, one would assume.
That's a tough one. Bears fans are never going to let that one go. Never let it go. The college football playoff team currently outside the top four. So it's Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. Outside of those teams that will rally to make the college football playoff is fill in the blank.
You know, I'm going to be a homer. I don't care what anybody says. I'm pulling for USC to do it. I'm pulling for them to not have close victories, play more like Utah and less like against Arizona State and Arizona in the end. And if they do that, then I think because of the brand, the USC Trojan brand, which is worldwide, that they'll get the opportunity to be in the college football playoff.
And, Jay, they sit at 18 at the moment. SC at 18. What do you got?
I'm going to go Florida. Crazy year for Dan Mullen and company. But Kyle Trask is playing out of his mind. And look, it's going to be an interesting pass. You know, they have Kentucky coming up next, Tennessee, LSU on that bye week they're going to fill in. And then we'll see what happens with Florida.
It's a great point. Remember, A&M is ahead of Florida, but A&M is not going to get another crack at Alabama.
Exactly.
Florida will in the SEC championship game. And Jay mentioned Florida and Kentucky this weekend. Last year when these two teams played on a Saturday night, you know what happened? Felipe Franks got hurt. Kyle Trask came in.
Boom.
And the rest is history. Florida and Kentucky meet again with Trask in the Heisman Trophy conversation. All right. The best head coaching spot for Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, said to be the top offensive play caller in the game looking for that first head coaching job. Chief offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, best head coaching spot for him would be fill in the blank.
I would say the Houston Texans because they have some pieces in play already. There is a quarterback there that's under contract. They got some receivers that can play. They can retool certain parts of the defense. You keep J.J. Watt around a little bit longer, and you just kind of build from there. I think that's the best spot for him because some of these other places, I'm not going there to try to rebuild the Jets. I don't want to be in Chicago if that becomes available. I mean, it's just do I really want to be in Jacksonville if that becomes available? I mean, like, think about it.
I would agree with Key on the Texans. I will say, though, depends on how much money the Jets throw out.
Well, it depends on if the Jets becomes available. It's not available yet.
Operative word yet.
Yeah. I just had to laugh at that comment.
All right, here we go. Speaking of laughing, some of
wait, laugh. hold on 1 second.
Good.
Also, Detroit, if it becomes available.
Yeah. Are you saying there's a chance?
No, I'm just saying if it becomes available. I don't want to fire somebody before they get fired.
Okay.
That's all.
You're a good person. Go ahead, Zubin.
It's the holidays. Man.
I know.
It's Thanksgiving.
We have a lot to
I'm
be
like
thankful
Adam Schefter.
For.
I don't want to fire anybody before the holidays.
I'm just saying I'm thankful that there's going to be a new coach in New York for the Jets, considering all my friends. Evan is a Jets fan. I want to see him actually be happy for one time in his life.
Yes, you did mention Detroit, hot seat, holy craziness words. Going in. They're 4-6.
About
six.
His football team, Keyshawn.
Three games Jeez. Tomorrow, by the way, if you're wondering. Houston and Detroit will start it out, then Washington football team and Dallas, and then Baltimore and Pittsburgh. That is your slate tomorrow night after you get tired of your family. All right, here we go. So you all know it's true. Okay, here we go. Patrick Mahomes putting ketchup. We all know Mahomes loves ketchup. Ketchup on a steak, ketchup on everything. Patrick Mahomes putting ketchup on his Thanksgiving turkey and ham, which he says he will do, is fill in the blank.
No, if he's making a sandwich out of it or something, maybe, but I'm not putting ketchup on it. No, I'm not.
Carved turkey.
It's not. No, why would you? That's what gravy is for.
True.
Like, what are you doing?
I did hear this on Shanae and Golick the other day where they were talking about if you are putting gravy on something, that means that you don't respect the taste of it.
No, that's not true.
Is it not true? But
that's
I kind of feel like
all.
It's true.
No,
because the things
true.
I need gravy for, I'm like, it's a little dry.
Because I can smother some chicken. I can smother some pork chops and it got gravy on it. I can put mashed potatoes and gravy.
I'm saying,
that doesn't.
Yeah, but mashed potatoes and gravy is one thing. Piece of meat, though?
No, turkey, you put
if you smother
gravy,
it in gravy, it's no, one thing. If the gravy's on the side and then you're adding the gravy to it, I'm like, eh.
You put the gravy on top of the turkey meat because typically most people during Thanksgiving want the turkey breast, which is typically can be a little dry.
On the way.
A little bit dry.
Alabama fatigue? Dabo fatigue.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.